Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yep. Dude. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Yep. Steve-O, Mateo, and hey. Pastor Nate Heitzig. Get to the webcam, mystaticradio.com. You can see all of our pretty faces now. Got this crazy HD system going. Dude, camera
dude,
one,
what's
camera
up
two.
With technology?
I don't know, man. It's kind of crazy.
I was watching, my wife and I were watching New Girl. You guys watch that show?
Mm-hmm. Matt
so
does.
Funny.
I don't watch it. I don't want to talk about it.
I think it's really funny.
I don't want to talk
there's,
about it.
There's this great, there was this great episode, or a new one, where they get a actual, like, home corded telephone.
Yes, I saw that one.
And and Nick loves taking the phone calls, and he loves talking and kind of being a secretary. And they get so mad because he's involved in their personal life, they get an answering machine.
Yeah, and he Nick starts making decisions Nick, for them.
And yeah, he's like, "Hey, Winston, your girlfriend called. I know you said that like it wasn't working out, so I broke up with her."
Oh my gosh,
it's really funny.
And but so they get this answering machine because they don't like Nick getting in their personal lives, and Nick is convinced the answering machine is going to become self-aware and destroy them.
What a good show. That's a good one.
Man, it is Shock Therapy Live. Welcome to it. Steve-O, Mateo, Pastor Nate Heitzig. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Yeah. Yes, we are back. We are live. It's exciting. We already got three emails.
And dude. A phone call.
So this is great. You just got to start talking.
Boom. Dude,
people
crap.
Appear. You want to start with the phone line since it's there? Let's go. All right. Line one, let's take a phone call.
We're jumping
call.
Into it.
Static.
Good morning, guys. It's Joelle the Nanny.
Hey. What up, Joelle the Nanny?
Good morning.
How's it going?
Good. How are you? How is nanny life?
Oh, it's pretty peachy.
Good. Peachy. No throw up on your clothes or anything?
No, not yet.
That's good.
Okay. Did you say peachy or PG?
Peachy,
maybe
like the
a
fruit?
Little bit of both.
Like the fruit, okay. Because
I
was
bit
like,
of
well,
both.
Makes sense.
I mean, it could
PG.
Be a little bit of both.
Because really, right. Depending on the age, it could be more like G, you know? Because it's like, but not like thug G, like G. G rated.
Like G like, Willikers.
Like, yeah. Golly G.
Yeah.
That's cool, bro.
Now that we've dispensed with the formalities, what's your question?
Well, I just have, like, I don't want to say it's like an issue. But my best friend, she's getting ready to kind of start a relationship with this guy. And I think, like, he's a very nice guy and stuff. But, like, he's, like, a brand new Christian. Like, he just became a Christian a few months ago. And I'm just kind of, like, I personally can see a change in him. But, like, in his testimony, there's no reference to him, like, in realizing he was in need of a savior. It was kind of... Like, he got saved in kind of a interesting way. And I just kind of get the feeling like there's something that he's not telling us, but I don't want to, like, base this off of my own feelings or anything. So, like, I need wisdom on how to talk to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So explain a little bit more his testimony. So, I mean, is there a part in his testimony where he says he gave his life to Jesus Christ?
Not really. He got saved because... Like, my friend, she liked him, but he wasn't a believer, so she knew she couldn't date him. So she, like, they were talking, and she just kind of said, okay, like, this isn't going to work. I need to stop this because we can't even, like, get in a relationship because you're not a believer. She left, and then he kind of just, like, something happened, and he, like, just started crying. And then he, well, the story goes, he stepped on a toad. And, like, he just started crying because he...
You step on a toad, you walk a different road. Everybody knows that.
Wow. Wow.
Step on a crack, break your mom's back. But, like, toads, got different road, man. The road
is
narrow.
Yeah, that's not what happened. He just started crying. And then he just, like, called her.
It's my testimony.
Because he didn't think that his prayers for this toad would... Like, he prayed for the toad so that, like, the Lord would relieve its suffering. Mm. But he didn't think his prayers would work. So he called... My friend.
Ghostbusters. Oh.
Go for it, guys.
So he stepped on a toad, he made him cry, he prayed for the toad, and then he called your friend?
Yeah, because he didn't think his prayers would work because he wasn't a believer.
Okay.
Huh. So what happened? He called your friend. What happened from there? This is a great story, by the way.
Well, I don't... She never really explained her side, like, what happened. So, like, that's kind of all I know about his testimony, really.
So, like, he called your friend. What he said, hey, I stepped on this toad. I can't pray for it. And then he gave his life to Jesus?
Apparently. Like, that's kind of what I've gotten from it.
It sounds like a children's book. It's a very interesting story.
Yeah, it's a great story.
I feel like this is one of those stories where I tell my son about Larry the Courageous Lion who stepped on a toad and he had to like... it's very weird. You know what I would do? I just kind of directly ask him, and you don't need to, you know, talk to her about this. Next time you're hanging out with him, I just say, hey, you know, I'd love to hear about how Jesus Christ has changed your life.
Yeah.
And kind of ask him up front, like, man, you know, when did you ask Jesus to come into your life? And maybe ask him, say... you know, how have you seen your life change since then? Maybe just ask him some of those basic questions about salvation.
Yeah.
And kind of get a read on it, because I don't know. It's a weird story right
now. It is. Here's the thing. Not all toads lead to God.
Oh my gosh.
Not all toads lead to God. Okay.
So, I will say this. Your story was riveting.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to make a frog joke. Riveting. I can't do it. I can't. All toads lead to God. All toads lead to God. That'll work. Joseph Smith established an entire religion based on some frog giving him some tablets, and I can't make a riveting joke.
This is the thing. God loves this guy no matter what, warts and all. He loves this guy.
Oh, gosh, dude.
Yes.
So here's the thing. I honestly, I don't know, Nate. I kind of feel like the way you approached it with us and said, I don't know what it is. This could be stupid, but I'm just kind of feeling this. Why not tell your friend? Why not say, man, I don't know. I've just been praying, and it's not like I don't think you should date the guy, but I've got this weird check in my spirit if you really believe that's it. Why not approach it, you know?
I would ask him directly and get it from the, because this is the thing. If you ask her, of course you're going to get the protective girlfriend. No, he really does. He loves the Lord so much. I'd ask him directly and ask him about his walk with God. Ask him about the changes he's seen in his life since then, because this is the thing. The Bible tells us that the people that we're supposed to be around are to be converted.
Yeah.
Not that they're supposed to claim to be Christians, but they're to be converted. And that carries this idea that there's, something real about them. There's something authentic about them.
Yeah.
They don't just love God with their lips. They love God with their life.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would really look at because, you know, and this is where it gets hard. I've known a lot of people that have come to Christ, and they came to Christ not out of a deep-seated realization of their sin, that their heart was broken because of their sin against God. Some people don't come to Jesus because of that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Some people come to Jesus at a very young age when they really don't even understand what sin is, and yet they walk with the Lord for their entire life. Now, that doesn't make their salvation any less valid.
Right.
Other people come to Jesus Christ because they're scared of hell, and they don't want to go to hell, and that doesn't make their salvation any less valid. So, the reason he came to Christ isn't as important as what that relationship with Christ has done in his life up to this point. And
well,
so that's what I would talk to him and ask him about is, you know, how is your walk with Christ now? What changes have you seen in your life? And that's really what's important.
And I definitely would approach the situation because, honestly, if your friend gets involved in a relationship with this person 6 months down the road, it goes really awry and gnarly. And then you're like, well, you know, in the beginning I had like these reservations and your friend didn't know any of them. I know that I would be furious. Like, what? Come on, man.
Yeah.
You're my bro. Why didn't you tell me you thought she was psychotic?
It's true. Because even, and we all know that even early in relationships, usually, if you like somebody, you will not listen to anyone.
Right.
Because you're like, I like him. But at least if things go crazy down the road, she will be able to recognize the fact that you said,
you made an attempt. I don't know
what's up.
Solid effort.
Yeah. Like, if 7 months from now he steps on a lizard and breaks up with her. There might be some issues.
Yeah. You step on a lizard, you become a wizard. That's what my grandma always said.
Why does it have to rhyme?
It has to. It's what my grandma only spoke in riddles.
The Bible
Step
rhymes,
on a
man.
Snake.
Step on a snake. and turn into a rake.
No.
No, wait. Nope, step on bad. A snake. Truth you won't forsake.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's right.
There we go.
Just justified killing snakes.
You're crushing his head.
I did it.
It's biblical.
He's trying to snap with
you're
your heel.
Okay, wait. Step on a duck.
Okay. And you're out of luck.
Thank you for calling, Joel and Amy.
Anytime, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank
for
you.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Man, you're just... Okay.
Okay, so we got...
It is shock therapy live.
Yeah, we got three email questions. Do you guys want
hey,
to start
if you're,
with
if you're
one?
A frog lover, just know that we do not advocate the stepping on of frogs.
No,
no frog stomp around
yeah,
here.
We're not, like, we're not
like
yeah.
First of all, if you're this a frog lover, you're probably frustrated because we keep saying frog and it was a toad, now, and they're two totally different
I
things.
I think I just sat on a frog a second ago.
Oh, so, Nate, thank you for letting us participate in this movement
what a
of
day.
The spirit. Spirit smells weird. Let's go to okay, we have three emails. We have
do.
The one from last week.
Here's the deal. It's Shock Therapy Live. If you would like to call in, 505-338-3700, the phone number. We'd love to talk to you.
We'd prefer
so
phone
ways.
Calls.
We
it's
do.
So much more fun.
It is.
We do have three emails if you'd like to email
You never
in.
Know what you're going to get with the phone calls.
Yeah. You can keep it anonymous at studio@mystaticradio.com to email in or Facebook us. Either way. But yeah, we got three. Do we want to start? Do we?
That's up to you guys,
do
man.
Do we want to start with the one
the
we got at the end of the show last week?
I don't remember what that is. So.
You don't?
Oh, cool. Let me read it to you.
You don't remember? We got it right as the show ended, and I said, Nate, we got this email.
And we were so stoked it came at the end of the show.
We were going to let our
guests
answer.
We said, hey, bro, we'll totally talk to you about it.
That's right.
Phone lines are jammed.
Oh, phone lines are jammed. Oh, looks like we can't take it.
Go to the phone line.
What
there.
A shame.
Okay, here's the deal.
Shucks.
I do want to say this. It is Shock Therapy Live, and we talk about being unshockable listeners. And we got an interesting one about sexual conduct last week. Next Wednesday, a week from today, we are going to be talking with, oh, man, and I had her book in here. She is the founder of Eve's Angels. She's a former stripper involved in the sex trade industry and gave her life to Christ. Now she's got this incredible ministry. I think we're going to reserve the sexual methods question for next week so we can ask her.
Yeah, let's just do a little teaser, though. I mean, like, if you're interested in what this question is about, I mean, we're talking
sex toys,
pornography,
in marriage.
Within marriage.
Within the confines of marriage, what is acceptable in the marriage bed?
Very interesting.
Yeah,
topic.
Interesting question, and we thought, wow, let's ask an expert. I'm no expert. Static.
Hey guys, I'm calling because I wanted to get your guys' take, Pastor Nate's take, both of Steve Mateo's take on how do you feel about being a Christian and, you know, smoking weed and also as well as being a Christian and going to a local brewery, having a drink with someone. But I guess people would say, well, it's, you know, conviction to each his own, I guess, but how would you, if you don't feel conflicted or convicted about it?
Yeah.
Does that mean that you're not serving God, or what's your guys' take on?
Yeah, we've approached this
occasionally, recreationally, smoking marijuana.
We've approached this question before.
Yeah, because there's different.
Yeah.
If you're living in the state of Colorado, it's a different answer.
No, I don't think it is.
I don't think it's a different answer either.
It's not a different answer.
Well, no, we start with the legality of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, it is illegal, so no to smoking weed, period.
But it's even more than that. And again, this is where we've gotten into it before.
Yeah.
We've taken it from the alcohol standpoint. So I'm going to take your alcohol standpoint at first. Is it wrong to go to a brewery and have a drink with some bros? No. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Is it wrong to go to a brewery and get drunk with some bros?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Is it wrong? In the
Bible,
privacy of your own home, yes. It
yeah,
is.
I mean, the Bible condemns drunkenness no matter where it is or when it is or who it is with.
Right.
The Bible does not condemn drinking alcohol. Mm-hmm. So drunkenness is what it condemns. Now, this is what's different between alcohol and weed. The reason the Bible condemns drunkenness is because it said you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and be drunk with wine. You're controlled by a substance. When you're drunk, you're controlled by that substance. You're no longer controlled by your mental faculties or by the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And so the way we would take marijuana from this standpoint is, unlike alcohol, you can drink a beer and not be drunk.
Right.
You can't smoke a joint and not be high.
Right. It will impair you.
It will impair you.
It will absolutely impair you.
And so it takes it to a different standpoint than alcohol in the sense that you can't really do it in moderation. You can't smoke weed not to get high. The sole purpose of smoking weed is to get high.
And now let's do this question justice, because, you know, Nate broke his femur and was it your femur? What did you break?
I broke my tibia.
Ugh. And had to take some pretty gnarly pain meds, which obviously impaired him as well. So if you are prescribed by a medical doctor marijuana for whatever reason it may be, if that is an actual prescription...
Yeah. I would say whatever, because a lot of people are pretty sneaky with the system to get their medical marijuana. So, if you physically need it for your health...
If you're being shady about it, you're being shady about it, you know who you are. We're saying if it is prescribed by a medical doctor for an actual existing condition or pain
you have cancer, you're going through chemo, you don't have an appetite,
and
you need to...
Take it in the properly prescribed dose... No, we're saying no to that because, like we said, Nate was on some wicked pain meds.
Yeah, we're not saying no to that.
So if you're a leader, if you're a leader or you have a leader and they come to you and tell you that they smoke weed or they occasionally go to a local brewery and have a beer or two, they don't get drunk.
Oh,
I guess my question is though, how do you fare as far as not passing judgment on them when myself? I have tattoos. I like to get tattoos.
Totally different.
They kind of, their question to me kind of is like, well, if God doesn't see the severity of the sin and he just sees the sin, then what makes you better for getting a tattoo and me smoking marijuana if I'm not even convicted about it?
Now, you just said this was a leader, so are you a youth pastor and this is a youth leader?
No, it's just if it was a youth leader that I have, there's a youth leader I know that,
well, you'd
it
have
comes
to
me, and I'm in no position of authority there at the church to say, "Hey, you shouldn't do that." But a youth leader that's a good buddy of mine is involved. Came to me and said he's involved in that. I'm just kind of come to him like a brother to say, "Hey, dude, maybe you just need to step down, or maybe you just need to do something."
Yeah,
but I don't want to also come off trying to sound all condescending and judgmental when. I have tattoos and I like tattoos.
Well, here's the difference.
The weed or anything.
Here's the difference. The Bible doesn't condemn tattoos.
Thank you. That's where I want
to
go.
So this is the issue. You can't be, it would be like someone saying, I just killed somebody and saying, man, well, I can't really pass any condemnation because I was really mad at my friend the other week.
Right.
You know, there's a huge difference between those two things.
Yeah.
And now tattoos is even another realm because there's nowhere that we read in the New Testament that condemns tattoos. The only place that we read about condemning tattoos is in Leviticus 19, which is not really in reference to our modern day and age. It was in reference to false markings that worshiped false gods in that time period. And on that same list is not shaving your beard. On that same list is not adorning yourself in linen. Yeah. On that same list, is all the sabbatical law. In regards to what you can eat and what you can't eat. So tattoos are a totally different realm.
Yeah.
The Bible expressly condemns being controlled by a substance. There's other passages within the New Testament that talk about pharmakeia, which really is talking about these hallucinogenic drugs, or these drugs that affect the way that you view reality. Marijuana is in a totally different set. Now, again, going to a brewery and having a drink with your bros is different. If you're so that's why I really want to clarify here. Is going to a brewery and having a drink wrong or a sin? No, it is not.
Right.
Is getting high a sin? Yes, it is.
Yes.
And so that's what I would say. And I would tell him to step down from ministry because this is the thing. Even if he were to say, well, isn't all sin forgivable? Yeah, all sin is forgivable. But guess what? You're a leader. You're held at a higher standard. And you shouldn't be showing kids that it's okay to do that. And so, can you be forgiven? Yes. Should you be in ministry? Heck no.
Not especially if there's no conviction in your heart and you're like, no, this is totally cool, bro, which, as you have already made very clear, it's not. It's two totally different things. And so I agree with what Nate said. You cannot equate them on the same line and say that smoking weed and going to a brewery and or tattoos, you have to take them case by case as their own thing, as you mentioned with murder.
Yeah.
So by him telling me this private thing, he told me because he's like, well, I can trust you and I don't know if I should go to this with to the pastor and him. He's really confided in me, but I kind of feel like, dude, I don't want to be the guy to step on your toes and expose you, but I'm also your buddy, and I don't want to. That's where I'm kind of like in the conflicting situation.
So
if he doesn't let someone know, is it then my responsibility to tell him, hey, look, you need to either do something and step down, or you need to let people know, you need to let somebody know, or do I take it then on myself to let someone know? Because I don't want him to feel like he can never talk to me again.
This is a unique situation. Mm-hmm. And What I would say in a situation like this is I would tell him that he should go to his pastor. He obviously came to you asking you if he should. Mm-hmm. I would tell him, yes, you should. And yes. I would tell him that you think he should step down. I would make sure to let him know, does God forgive you of this? Yeah. Can you be restored? Yeah. You know, is there room for growth here? Yeah. But at the same time, you shouldn't be in ministry right now. Yeah. And I would make sure to let him know that. Now, if he doesn't go tell his pastor, would I go tell his pastor? I'm not sure that I would, and here's why. The sin that he's taking part in isn't a sin like adultery, isn't a sin like murder where it's like, man, I got to alert the authorities, I got to alert people in this guy's life. He's smoking weed. Is it bad? Is it a sin? Yeah. Is it something that he shouldn't be doing as a leader? Yeah. But at the same time, I really believe that people need accountability partners in their life, somebody that they can go to and talk about stuff that they're not going to get ratted out to unless they really do, again, unless it's murder, adultery, something really significant. Mm-hmm. But even with adultery, you know, I've had friends in my life who have confided in me about stuff like that, and I haven't gone and told their wife or told the people in their life. I've told them, look, you need to do this,
yeah,
and put the onus on them.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be more unhealthy for me to do that for them.
Right.
I totally agree with that. Yeah,
because
it's
you're removing you're removing their personal responsibility.
Exactly.
Because in the end, they have to deal with their to make the decision.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a part of the good of an accountability person is you're opening yourself up, making yourself completely vulnerable and saying, this is what I'm dealing with. And the next step with that, and when your friend encourages you to do the right thing, it is back in your court and you have to do the right thing, which is ultimately what has to happen.
Now, I'd say this as well. It's a unique situation for a few reasons.
Yeah.
If you were going to the same church as this guy, then yes, I would say you go tell the pastor because you're going to the same fellowship. And so I'm thinking like, you know, I'm in a counseling appointment and one of the high school ministry leaders comes to me and says, hey, I've been smoking weed. I'm going to go tell the high school ministry pastor, Jesse, right away. Hey, one of your leaders is getting high, you know, because I go to that church and because I'm watching out for that flock.
Yeah.
So there's a different scenario there. The other different scenario is I'm a biblical counselor. If someone comes in and they're telling me something about their life, I tell them they have complete confidentiality. Unless they tell me something that is either harming themselves or harming someone else. So maybe they're suicidal. I'm going to go tell the authorities. I'm going to go tell their parents.
Yeah.
Maybe they're planning on hurting other people. I'm going to tell the authorities. I'm going to tell their parents. So that's why I say in your situation, I probably wouldn't go tell that pastor, unless you're going to that church as well. I wouldn't tell that pastor, but I would encourage and I would hold that person to telling the pastor. I'd say, look, you got to tell the pastor this. You got to sit down with him. And I'm going to talk to you a week from now and see if you have, and I kind of push him on that to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you guys so much, man. I appreciate it.
You're welcome,
man.
Man.
Have a great day.
All right.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. You know, it was interesting. We had Kirk Cameron on the phone this morning. Kirk Cameron is like the conserve, like, I don't know. Who is he?
He's a mecha Christian.
There you go, of conservative Christianity. In his film, dude is, you know, it's a Christmas film and he's having dinner and he's got a glass of red wine and a glass of white wine in front of him.
Dude, double dose.
We talked about that.
He was double fisting it.
Kirk Cameron was double fisting, yo. And so we talked to him about that very thing and
smashing wine.
Whether it was acceptable and or causing someone to stumble, because I feel like there's going to be a lot of conservative people who are going to be put off a little bit by Kirk Cameron's new film, which I was okay with because I'm excited by everything he was doing and saying, because it's definitely not what I was expecting, but it's just interesting to see in this culture. 5 years ago, would we have even been able to say, like, hey, it's totally acceptable to go to a brewery if you're just having a drink and you're with your friend and am I fired? Did I just get fired? as to where the culture has gone today. Now, does that mean that we're shifting and we're changing ground? Or is it that it's more...
I want
to
be clear.
What we're sharing here...
Are not the views necessarily of the church that we're affiliated with.
Right.
What we're sharing here is the views of the Bible.
Amen.
And so I would also say you need to be submissive to the leadership and the authority within your life.
Yeah.
You know, there's some pastors who go to certain churches that have no condemnation from their authority to go out to a bar and have a beer. There's other churches that they are told that they can't do that. And I would not pull the card. You know, I work at a church where the pastoral staff isn't permitted to go in public and go have a beer. And I'm perfectly okay with that. I'm not going to pull the card. Well, the Bible says you're taking away my freedoms. I'm called to submit to this authority.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's something to be said as well about submitting to the authority that God has in your life at the time and not bucking against that for the sake of having your freedoms in Christ.
Yeah.
I think that's just as ungodly, because God has called us to submit to the authorities in our life, including the spiritual authorities.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Phone lines are open. We also have some email questions to get to. We got a handful of stuff already.
We got a really long one yesterday.
I'm down.
Okay. Bear with me.
All right.
Steve-O and Pastor Nate, my shock therapy legends.
That's us!
I thought he was going to say shock therapy lovers, and I was going to be really creeped out.
Yeah.
The long L really threw me off.
Now, that would be shocking. So this is the third email I'm sending you guys, and I know I sent two emails about a month ago or 2 months ago before you guys came back on air. And I know you've gotten hundreds of emails to go through, so I totally understand that you can't get to the old ones, but I just want you to know that I'm not disappointed. I won't be disappointed if you still don't manage to get to me today. First off, you guys are truly awesome.
I know, that's awesome.
And inspiring, and I am grateful that my friend put me onto your podcast. I only started a few months ago from the beginning, and I have finished them all and look forward to every episode on Wednesday. So, here's the issue. I have been married to my awesome wife for 8 years now, and we were not believers at the time of getting hitched. About 3 months ago, I finally gave my life to Jesus, and I am super happy that I finally came to my senses and thank the Lord every day that I was given the chance to find him, as many people pass on before they get this chance, so I am extremely grateful for that. Anyway, when I told my wife, she told me that she... Or when I told my wife this, she told me that she burst into tears. So initially I thought this was because she was happy for me. And she was, but she was also upset at the same time because she said she doesn't see how our marriage will ever work now, especially wanting to have kids, because she would not want me forcing religion on them and instead allow them to find their own religion on their own someday. Now, we as parents are supposed to guide our kids and be their role models, and I would obviously love for my kids to go to Sunday school and church, but my wife is against this. My wife has recently gotten into yoga and has become very spiritual, or spirited, should I say. She does not worship any gods or symbols like Buddha, but she says she believes in God, not Jesus. She says that she does not believe in religion or going to church, and that she just wants us to bring kids up, showing them love and respect, which will hopefully teach them to be well-rounded and come to finding religion themselves someday. Now, we have been through a lot, and we love each other a lot, and I do not want to let this marriage end so easily. And if there is a way to work around this, I hope to find it. And so this is why I'm emailing you awesome people to see what advice you have to give. You guys rock, and what you do is amazing. This email does not need to be confidential at all. My name is Nick, and I'm 32 years old, all the way from South Africa.
Wow! Nick, you're awesome.
I hope to hear from you. God bless, Nick.
Nick, I'm so happy you wrote in, and it's such a difficult question, and I want to let you know, first of all, that I'm going to pray for you today and this evening in the situation that you're in, because I imagine it's got to be really difficult to deal with this right now. But now here's the situation that you're in. You are in a unique situation for two reasons. Number one, you're the only Christian in the family. And number two, you're the man, you're the husband, you're the father of the household. And God has called and tasked you specifically as the man of the household to lead your family, and to make those authoritative decisions for your family. Do you want to be a punk about it? No. But at the same time, I think, you do, as the man of the household, want to set certain parameters. This is what I would do. And I'm going to address it specifically in relation to your kids. Would I force religion onto your kids? No. Would I take your kids to church? Yes. Now I grew up in the home of a pastor, and never once did my parents force on me Christianity. Never once did they say, Nate, you need to accept Jesus Christ. Nate, you need to do this now. Nate, you know, how's your walk with Christ? I was never forced in that sense. And I would also say, to a certain extent, I wasn't really forced, to go to Sunday school. You know, there was times when I didn't want to go and I didn't have to go. Now, was that the norm? No. Was I brought to church with my family, you know, at certain times, whether I liked it or not? Yeah. But at the same time, there was a certain amount of freedom there. And so, I do think you should bring your kids to church, and I think you should bring your kids to church whether your wife likes it or not. Now, I think I would have a conversation with your wife what that means, that, look, I'm not going to force them to be Christians, because realistically, no one can force anyone to do anything.
Yeah.
So I would have a conversation, let her know, look, I'm not going to force them to be Christians, but I am going to take them to church because I think it's important. And this is, you know, the reality there is whether you're a Christian or not, there's good principles that you learn in church. You know, in the same way that would be like, this is where it gets wacky. It's like, you know, you can't take kids to church. Okay, then you can never take kids to yoga class, or you can never take kids to,
right,
to this or that, because there's spiritual elements in everything, in our day and age. And so, I think that it's really important to take your kids to church.
Mm.
And I would also say that I think it's important to maybe even appeal to your wife. Hey, I'd like you to go to church with me as well. I'm not forcing you to become a Christian. I'm not telling you that, you know, unless you're a Christian, we're not going to be married. I just would love you to attend church with me every now and then. And that's kind of the standpoint that I would take on that.
Absolutely. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First of all, welcome to the family. That's freaking amazing. I'm excited for what God has planned for you. And so being a new believer, I immediately am like, okay, what does the Bible have to say? And that's what we do here on Shock Therapy Live, is take it to the Word. So here's what God's Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul is giving principles for marriage, and he's talking specifically to this issue, actually, of one being married and one being a Christian, one being a non-believer. He says this: if any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever, or if any man has a woman who is an unbeliever, and they consent to live with each other, she should not divorce him, for the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. But if the unbelieving partner separates, let it be so. In such cases, the brother or sister is not enslaved. God has called you to peace. For how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. And I would say, dude, love the tar out of your wife and your children. You show her the love and grace and mercy and compassion that Christ has shown you. You live it every day in front of your wife and your children, because maybe even the argument of whether or not to take them to church or cramming religion down their throat, your children will know you by your love. In fact, the world's going to know you by your love. John 13:34, I realize, is talking about believers loving each other. But a command that Jesus gave us was to love one another as he has loved us, so we must love one another. So you love them, and you show them Christ's love through your everyday actions, and continue to do so. And
so let me play the devil's advocate here. Are you saying that he shouldn't take his kids to church?
No, I'm not saying that at all. No, not at all. Of course, no, absolutely.
Because it sounded a little bit like the St. Francis of Assisi.
Like, if you're,
you know, like, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words.
No,
like,
I think
it
it's
is
funny.
Necessary to use words.
I think, well, but here's the, let me play devil's advocate back. How many Christian, quote-unquote Christian families are out there that the parents are lazy and uninvolved in their kids' life and believe that Sunday school is going to save
them?
Yeah. It's crap. You live it every day. I grew up in a place where Sunday school was a priority, church was a priority, but we lived differently 6 days out of the week.
Yeah.
And so what I saw 6 days out of the week versus an hour on Sunday morning really shaped me for a time, and God had to rewrite my brain, if you will.
Yeah.
I had to renew my mind through his
word. And so this is what I would say. I don't think it's one or the other. I think
no.
It's both.
Amen.
Because this is the thing. You got to understand, every day when you're sending your kids to school, you're sending them into a secular mindset and a secular point of view. And so I think equally it's as important to once a week bring them into a Christian mindset.
Absolutely.
And a Christian worldview.
Yes.
And again, you live it at home, but you also say it, and you let the church say it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a place for the church to say those things into your kids' lives, things that maybe you're learning as well. Mm-hmm. And I also think there's extreme importance in growing together as a family.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, I remember as a kid going to Sunday school and hearing a lesson and getting something from it. And after church, my parents saying, man, this is what I learned in church today. What did you learn in church today?
Yeah.
And having a conversation together about how we were both growing. And there's something so healthy about growing as a family on the principles of the Word of God. And so I think it's really, really important to go to Sunday school. It's really important to go to church.
Yeah.
Is it going to save your your kids? No. Is it going to get them to heaven? No. But at the same time, I think that's to your favor because you're letting your wife know, look, I'm not taking them to Sunday school because I'm going to cram it down their throat. I'm taking it to them because I think there's good principles for them to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I think it's both because my kids, whether they want to go or not, they're in Sunday school every week. They're in kids' church. It's like, no, you go learn on your level. You're not hanging out in quote unquote big church.
Yeah.
You go.
Or what
learn.
If they said, hey, I want to stay home today. I don't want to go to church at all.
Sorry, bro. Mom and dad are going to church, so no, you can't stay home alone.
Yeah.
Looks like you're coming with us. So no, my kids get it every day. So they see it. They see
now.
It
let's
at church,
say now. Let's say wife's staying home. Well, I don't want to go to church. I want to stay home with mom.
Yeah, see, this is the problem that you will inevitably run into. Now, as the husband, you are the head of the household, and is it going to cause some arguments, some fights? Yeah, we had this conversation in the past with people who one is a believer, one is a non-believer, and we have said in the past, man, you take those kids to church. You fight for those things because they are definitely very important. Mom's not going to church, but dad is, and dad wants you to be a part of what he's doing, and it's exciting, and I agree.
You entice them. Hey, kids, you know, because inevitably, I don't want to go to church. I'm going to go with mom. Well, if you go to church, we get ice cream after church.
Oh, my gosh.
Seriously.
Nothing like setting them up for life as a reward system. This is how God operates.
No, but I think positive reinforcement's okay. You know, growing up, when there was things I didn't want to do, it's like, okay, you don't have to, but if you do go, we have ice cream after church.
Yeah.
My parents did a really good job of finding that balance of saying, and kudos to them. I think my mom's probably still listening. Hey, I need something. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, they did a really good job of saying, hey, this is what we believe. This is why we go to church all the time. But ultimately, you're going to have to make that decision.
Yeah.
And so it was constantly a life of, here's why we think this is the best thing. Here's why we think this, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it on our show before. I have no excuse for being a bad person at all because I can't throw it back on my parents and be like, well, my dad or my mom, I can't do that. But I know this too, like with as far as enticement, if you're going to a church that has like not necessarily, because I'm not like a full advocate of, you need to split the kids up by age groups, because there's health in that, and then there's also, you know, there can be some disassociation. But anyway, if there's a healthy children's ministry, those kids are going to go to church, and they're going to make friends, and that's positive reinforcement, you know? Because they're going to be in an environment where they feel loved, hopefully,
and you know,
and
that's what we found with a lot of families who the wife doesn't want to go to church, or the husband doesn't want to go to church, the kids love Sunday school.
Right.
And that's one of the things that, like, they're like, I want to keep going because they love it. They enjoy hanging out with their friends. They enjoy doing arts and crafts.
Yeah.
You know, it really is great for them, and they really like it.
And it could help you as well, because as a father and as a husband, I'm sure it's going to be a rough road, because you're going to want to go to church on Sunday. Your wife's not going to want to. You'd rather just not fight with her, so maybe you give in that one Sunday, and that's where the compromise begins.
Man, but talk about the importance of finding a good church.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be so important for you, especially, I don't know, you know, the landscape spiritually of South Africa very much, but it's going to be so important for you to find a great church, because that will make it or break it for your kids, too, in their church experience.
And maybe for your wife. I mean, think if there's a strong church there where your wife could even go, and she has fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the level of like whatever, but Koinonia. You know, not like that, but there are people there that care about her, and she cares about them, and she makes friends. It's going to be a lot easier for she's not going to feel like she's getting indoctrinated.
Amen.
And
I would let that know. And this is the thing, a lot of people who play the spiritual card say, oh, I'm totally open to spirituality except Christianity.
Right.
They're open to any spirituality in the world except for Christianity. And I would kind of have a conversation with her about that. Say, look, if you're open to spirituality, why don't you go to church with me? I'm not telling you have to become a Christian. I'm not telling you got to leave there indoctrinated, but you said you're open to spirituality. Well, put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
If you're willing to experience other spirituality for other religions, come and experience mine, because I'm your husband and I love you, and so that counts for something.
Find a holy yoga class.
Dude, some churches actually do yoga classes.
I know.
Our church has martial arts classes. We've gotten crap about that before.
Yeah. Dude, there you go.
There are martial arts classes.
Oh, crap.
I know.
I just lost him.
You mean to tell me
okay.
I could have been training to be a Christian ninja
this
whole time, and nobody told me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's taught by Splinter, too.
Okay.
Is it new Splinter from the movie?
Because
that makes me uncomfortable. It's called what?
Ninjawe.
Is it called Jiu-Jitsu? And so they teach you how to...
Jesus, Jiu-Jitsu.
Oh, man.
Dude, we've got a bunch.
Did I just give us a new name?
Jiu-Jitsu, Ninjawe, I mean...
Jiu-Jitsu. So every time you punch somebody, you're like, and they'll know it's my love! He's knocked out. Somebody drag the body over there.
Well, Well, they have this—they have this special pressure point they teach you in the Christian version, where it immediately makes someone a Christian.
Oh, it's
whoa! Like, bam! Heaven, heaven. Like, and then you're like, I just saved you.
It's the I don't know how... do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me neck pinch.
Oh, yeah.
That was
yeah.
a really long one.
It's good.
That was very
it's still
long.
Wordy. We're working on it.
Yeah, they do this walk by faith thing where they put a blindfold on you and you gotta like walk by faith.
That's like Daredevil.
We are gonna start a new ministry here, man.
Ninja ministry.
Oh, I love it.
They make you slap holy water.
Oh, and you less ripples.
Yes, dude.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
And then you got people sitting there saying, did you see the water? It moved by itself. And you got Ninja over in the corner going,
no, it didn't. That's really good. Oh, man. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live. You can also chime in through email. I know we got another email question.
We do.
Sword of the Spirit, Nunchucks of Truth.
Studio at mysonicradio.com.
The Bo Staff of Salvation.
Boom!
Sorry. Okay. I have a question for Nate and Steve-O.
Katanas of Wisdom.
My son recently said he's been having thoughts and thinks he is gay. He's 14 years old. I told him that nothing could ever stop me from loving him, no matter what it was. However, I will not conform my beliefs to accommodate anyone because God is truth, love, and light. When I asked him if he still loved Jesus, he said, well, I guess not because I have not been following him for the last 2 years. I'm sorry if that upsets you. I find this hard to believe because I know that he genuinely accepted Jesus into his heart when he was in fourth grade. I think he is rejecting truth right now because he has urges, which we all do, just with different things and in different ways. Mm-hmm. I have heartache for him for so many things. My real question is, how do I still show and give him love without judging him and condemning him? And that's an anonymous email.
Yeah.
Well, you know, here's a couple things that are tough with this. Number one, you say you know he genuinely accepted Jesus Christ when he was in fourth grade. The truth is you can't know that. Mm-hmm. Only Jesus knows if someone genuinely accepted him in their hearts at a certain age. You know, it's hard for you to tell that. But number two, I think it's really important, as you did say, to show love in the situation, because a lot of Christians treat homosexuality different than other sins.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's really important to acknowledge that he might struggle with homosexuality, but at the same time let him know that that's okay to struggle with homosexuality, but it's wrong to take part in homosexuality. And I would have a conversation about what sin is and what it does is it separates us from God, and that just because he struggles with homosexuality, that shouldn't mean that he has to isolate himself. That struggling with homosexuality is no different than struggling with any other sin. Struggling
right.
with lust for a woman, struggling with the desire to hurt people, struggling with the desire to sin, struggling with the desire to lie. All these struggles are not wrong until they lead us to enacting in those sins.
Absolutely.
And so I would have a conversation with about what that looks like. I would talk to maybe the youth pastor at the church and say, hey, would you mind having a conversation with him? If it's at a good church, they should be trained to have those kind of conversations.
Yeah, get a good feel for their vibe, if you
yeah.
will. Because if it is a good church, it'll be great counsel. If it's not, then it's
going to be bashing him.
It's going to be really bad.
Yeah, I know at Calvary, I can just speak for us.
Yes.
You know, our youth pastors are really trained to
Absolutely.
Have those conversations with kids who struggle with homosexuality. We have done it a lot in the past, and we have kids in our youth ministry who struggle with homosexuality.
Yeah.
We have kids in our church who struggle with homosexuality. And what we don't do is say, hey, it's okay to be gay. We don't do that, but we do say it's okay that you have those struggles.
Yeah.
And that God can still love you. You know, and again, all sin is leveled at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
And so I think it's really important to have that kind of a conversation with him, and let him know, I think like you've already done, that his struggles are okay, but the sin is not okay.
Yeah. And I mean, that's it. Perfectly stated. You asked, how do I love, without basically conforming to the pattern of the world or without compromising your beliefs or condemning him. Or I think open conversation is key. When I was 14 years old, I struggled heavily with the opposite sex. I had some crazy urges. I was a 14-year-old boy. I didn't believe I had anybody to talk to because the church was like, sex is bad, okay? If you do it, you're going to go to hell. Mm-hmm. This is where hell is reserved for the, you know, fornicator and the adulterer and the blah. And it was just like punishment and vile. And I was like, well, I can't talk to anybody because I'm struggling with this. So therefore, I must be vile. Nobody's going to want to talk to me. What you said, the idea of the difference between battling a temptation versus enacting that are two wholly different things. And being able to discuss with your son the idea of struggling with something, being tempted by something, temptation in and of itself is not a sin. And otherwise, Jesus would not be without sin. He was tempted.
And that's the hard part with homosexuality. Is for whatever reason, people who struggle with homosexuality can't reconcile the idea of being a Christian and struggling with homosexuality. Yeah. So they say, if I struggle with homosexuality, it must mean that I'm not saved.
Right.
And that's because we as the church have done a really poor job at defining what struggling with sin means in a believer's life. Mm-hmm. And so you have a lot of these kids who, what happens is just like this, they struggle with homosexuality and then they get asked, well, are you still a Christian? They say, well, I guess not because I struggle with homosexuality.
Yeah, that broke my heart.
And that's such an improper view, and I think he needs to have that view corrected, that look, you can still be a Christian and struggle with homosexuality. Can you be a Christian and be in a constant act of homosexuality? No. Right. But can you be a Christian and struggle with homosexuality? Yes, you can. And so I think it's really important that he understands that. Mm-hmm. And that there is a place that he can go. There are people that he can talk to about this. You know, I know here at Calvary we have a ministry that helps people who struggle with homosexuality.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a lot of great resources there, but I think the greatest resource is you as his dad, letting him know, you know, the truth of that, that look, you can still be a Christian and struggle with that.
Yeah.
You know, just like, and maybe use a sin in your own life. Say, look, you can be a Christian and struggle with that, just like I can be a Christian and struggle with this.
Yeah.
You know, part of the Christian walk is struggling with sin. And we're always going to struggle with sin till the day that we die.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you can't walk with Christ through that struggle.
Amen. I mean, there are so many empowering scriptures that talk about this very thing. I always think of 1 Corinthians 10:13 immediately, because there's no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. And that's including your 14-year-old son struggling with homosexuality. It's God was not like, what? I blew this one. I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
God knows. And there's no temptation that has overtaken your 14-year-old son that is not common to man. And it continues. God is faithful. And with each temptation, he will provide that way of escape. And I've seen it over and over and over in my life and the life of friends and loved ones. And I'm telling you, the way to approach it is with that grace, that compassion, that love, and the understanding that maybe you don't struggle with homosexuality, maybe you never did, mom or dad or whoever, but you do struggle with sin, and it's all level and it's all equal and it's all the same, and therefore you can totally talk about these struggles. I think for the longest time it wasn't okay for parents to like let any weakness in. You couldn't let your child know that you dealt with any of these things. You couldn't let your child know that you have had any battles, because to your child, you're perfect. And once they find out that you're not perfect, well, then you're a failure and you're not their hero anymore. I think it's way more heroic to say that I have walked this road and I have battled through these demons, if you will, or these issues, and this is how God redeemed the situation. This is what God has shown me. This is how God has helped me through. So it's okay to have war wounds.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we as parents don't want our kids to see that, because we want them to see the best sides of us.
And you know what it was for me growing up? Because I'm trying to think through this. I'm like, man, growing up, I really thought my parents were perfect.
Yeah.
In every way. But this is what was interesting. They didn't shy away from telling me their past. My dad, you know, as a kid, I'd hear stories about how he, you know, did drugs and, you know, had trips and all this crazy stuff. And I would hear these stories about him. But for me, he was such a different person when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, it gave me a chance to really see the transformation of Christ.
Right.
So a lot of parents, so I want to be really clear when we're saying this. If you're going to talk about your past, make sure that your past is different than who you are now.
Amen. Because I think a lot of, and I think that's another reason why parents or people in general struggle. You know, you have those testimonies that become like bragging rights or something, and you're like, whoa, dude, have you changed at all? And I agree with that wholeheartedly, because you need to be able to speak to them, but don't glorify your past. Don't make it seem like this awesome thing. Obviously, if you're transformed, if you're changed, that lifestyle is not going to be what you desire. It's not going to be.
Yeah, and it was so interesting for me. You know, my parents would tell me the story about who they were before, and it almost seemed fake because of how different they were now.
Right.
You know, I would hear this story, and it gave me a beautiful representation of the transforming power of Christ.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I do think you need to have these honest conversations with your kid. And this is what's so hard. Sin is so isolating, particularly homosexuality within the church. People feel isolated because they feel like they're so different than everyone else. They feel like no one else struggles with this this urge, this desire. And Satan wants to isolate them, so Satan can make them feel like, yeah, you are alone. Yeah, you don't belong in the church.
Yeah.
And so we want to do as much as we can to un-isolate these kids, to bring them out of obscurity, bring them to a place that's safe, that's comfortable, where they can feel like they can have these real conversations with people. And so it's important that you give them that opportunity. Don't let them isolate themselves.
Yeah, I mean, that goes directly right back to 1 Corinthians 10:13, because it says that there's no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man. And I remember the first time I read that, that really got through to me, punched me in the face, because I realized, ow, I'm not the only person in the world that's battling this. I'm not the only person in the world that's struggling. There are other human beings out there that are dealing with the same thing. And when you can connect and you can find that person or that ministry that can speak to that, like the ministry here at Calvary Albuquerque, I know a former homosexual leads that and can say, this is what God has brought me through, brought me out of. This is what he has done in my life. It's empowering to see God win, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all, you always want to, that's why there's so many people that jump on the bandwagon
exactly.
in sports, because it's like, we want to root for the winner.
Yeah.
And so if you can find that person in your life who has battled and come through the other side of that, it's empowering.
And
it
another
is.
great resource for that is Triple X Church. You know,
Amen.
They've got some great resources for parents and for kids who struggle with homosexuality.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
can be a big resource for you as well.
And again, want to remind everybody, next week we are going to have a very special guest on the show. She is the founder of Eve's Angels, former sex trade industry, if you will, former porn star, and obviously walked it, lived it, gnarly road, and the light is shining all the more in her life now because she gave her life to Jesus Christ, founded this new ministry to help strippers, prostitutes, those involved in the porn industry come to Christ. And so it's going to be very powerful next week. I know, like we said at the beginning of the show, we got that question from a spouse who was wanting to know about sex in the marriage bed and what defiles the marriage bed, what is acceptable. We're going to touch on that. We're also going to talk about this very issue of how to be able to speak into the lives of... I can't speak into the heart of a prostitute or somebody that's walked that road, but she absolutely can. So I know that she's going to help give tools and just advice and how the Lord has used her ministry. And so next week's going to be amazing as well. I'm really looking forward to that. So, man, amazing Shock Therapy Live. If you missed any part of the show, please download the podcast, mystaticradio.com. Shout out to everybody who sent in an email question today. I apologize, as I said, to the person that sent in that question about the marriage bed. We will answer it next week, I promise.
One more note, just to the dad who has a son struggling with homosexuality.
Yes.
Go to our website, calvaryabq.org. We just had Sean McDowell in town, and he did a fantastic message at our Wednesday night service. If you go to calvaryabq.org and you go to our teaching archive and search Sean McDowell, he gave what I would say is the best message I have ever heard on showing an equal amount of love for homosexuals while at the same time standing up for truth. Best message I've ever heard on it. I think it could really help you as you deal with this. So I'd encourage you to go watch that.
That guy's so great.
Dude.
He was such
dude.
A good dude. Yeah, that was fantastic. Incredible. Because I think part of the struggle for Christians is, well, if I just love in any way, I'm condoning it. And then now I'm in trouble because I totally am accepting their lifestyle. So I just got to be a complete jerk and can't show any love because I don't want them to think that what they're doing is acceptable anyway.
Yeah, because that's what Jesus did. Like
that
story,
that's
like
sarcasm.
The woman
that's,
at the well, he was like, I'm going to throw you in the well, you stupid whore. That's what happened in that Bible story, actually.
PG13Bible.com.
He was like the woman, they were going to stone her. He's like, yeah, you should stone her. Let me get the biggest rock and do it first.
Yeah, no, and we have, gosh.
That's not Calvary, what happened.
ABQ.org for, man, just a slew of resources, including Sean McDowell's teaching. Again, if you missed this show or any of our past Shock Therapy Lives, we have a full library resource for you at mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. Get there. Get your questions in throughout the week. We love them, and we will get to them again next Wednesday, of course. Very special guest. Tune in for that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Go show some love to the people in your life today.
There you go. Amen. Right. MyStaticRadio.com/shocktherapylive. We'll see you guys again next week. We out.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.